Okay, well, let's turn to Colossians today. Colossians, and we're in chapter 2. We're going to do the first 10 verses of chapter 2 of Colossians today. We know that the Apostle Paul has received information from Epaphras that the church in Colossae, along with the church in Laodicea, were being inundated with false teachers and false doctrines that needed to be spoken to. And so Paul now is writing to them to encourage them in the love of God. And so we read chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. But Paul had not met many of them yet. He knew Epaphras, who came to him, who was one of the leaders of the church at Colossae, to bring him the news that these people were being harassed with bad doctrine. And Paul was so upset about that. It says that I would that you knew what conflict I have for you. This word conflict is, another translation says, what struggle. He's struggling for the care of the churches. He had such a love for the church of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. And so the care of the church was coming upon him, and he was striving, he was struggling. The Greek word there is the same root word that's used for striving in the last verse in chapter 1, verse 29, where it says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. He had such a love, and he was in that place. Now, this word for striving in the last verse of 29 and also in chapter 2, verse 1, the same root word, is actually a word from which we get our word agonize. So the Apostle Paul was agonizing that Christ would be formed in the people of the church, and that is noble. And that is something, and that's how some of Paul's suffering came, is through this agony that he experienced of, oh, you guys, don't go down the wrong road. And his voice reaches through the ages to us. Don't go down the wrong road. Stay close to the Lord. And that is where we are to be. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 2 and 3. That says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Remember last week we studied what the mystery is, that all through the ages the prophets desired to understand the things they were writing about the sufferings of Christ, and who he would be and when he would come. And also the angels even desiring to look into that. This was a mystery for ages. But then Jesus came, and the mystery is opened up, and the revelation comes. And we're told that the riches of the ministry is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That when Jesus Christ comes into each one of us, there is a hope of glory. That's the riches of the mystery of the gospel. Now, in verse 3 then, it says, in whom, that is in Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where every piece of wisdom that you will ever need is hid. It's hidden in Christ. And so we go to Christ. We ask Christ into our hearts. We begin to want to live for Christ. And all these treasures are given to us. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask, and God will give it liberally. Of wisdom and knowledge come to us. Now, we've started the book of Ecclesiastes on Wednesday night study, and it's been so good to get further understanding, even here from Colossians, about what happens there. Is that in his mid-years, his autobiography is what Ecclesiastes is. And he's preaching good things. He's preaching warnings for you and I not to do what he did. Solomon had all this wisdom that was given to him by God, more than any man had before or would ever have after. But he actually fell away from the Lord and stopped actually putting God as the center of his life, Jesus on the throne of his life. But he got into pleasures and self. He disobeyed the Lord by marrying so many women, 700 brides or wives, and 300 concubines. And he got into the pleasures of living, the worldliness. And the Lord warned him and said, these wives, if you marry many wives that have other gods, they're going to turn your heart away from me. And sure enough, that's what happened. As we're told in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, that Solomon actually had that happen to him. His wives turned his heart away from the Lord, and that he built actually altars to Chemosh and Molech, and other gods of his wives. And his heart left home, left the Lord Jesus. But Solomon made the mistake of thinking that he could still go on with great wisdom. He still thought that he could be blessed with this great thing of wisdom, and sought after the wisdom, actually making wisdom the love of his life and the pleasures, rather than the Lord. But where are the treasures of all wisdom and knowledge hidden? In Jesus. If you leave Jesus, you walk away from Jesus, that even your gifts go south on you. Even the gifts that God gives you go south on you without the Lord, without that blessed presence of closeness with Him. And that's exactly what happened to Solomon. I'd like to show you that in the Word of God. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 16. Ecclesiastes is right after the book of Proverbs. And we go to chapter 8 and verse 16. Solomon really makes it clear to us here in his autobiography. Chapter 8 of Ecclesiastes, verse 16. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night sees sleep with the eyes. In other words, he was even awake at night thinking about wisdom and the gift that God had given him to have all this great wisdom. And so he thought about it, and he thought about the business in the world and so forth, the earth. Then I beheld all the work of God, verse 17, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And we know the Lord said in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. My ways are far above your ways and past finding out. As the earth is above the heavens, so my ways are above your ways, says the Lord. And so you see, as Solomon in his middle years backslid and was not centered on Christ or having Christ as the center of his life, but rather now the wisdom that he was seeking and searching out. But he couldn't find it. He couldn't find it. No comprendo. And it just slipped away because you see, you go south right away because all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. And so Paul here is elevating the Lord Jesus. And the problems that were stirring in the church, the early beginnings of Gnosticism, which means knowledge, is kind of a conceited feeling that the ways of man and the wisdom of man can be above Holy Scripture. Oh no, never go there. And they begin to interpret in their own way and write their own rules and so forth that please them. And that takes them south, takes them away from the beauties of what they could really know and really have the wisdom of God only by going to the one that has all those treasures hidden in himself, the Lord Jesus. Paul is bringing up this point. So let's go back then to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, and we just looked at verse 3. So we're going back. And I'm looking. I just got a new Bible, you guys. The pages stick together. And so I have a little tough time sometimes getting to where I want to go. So here we are. We just read verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So Paul is blessed with this church, and he's actually using military terms here. As we read in the King James, beholding your order and your steadfastness. Military terms, and other translations say this. They say, if I can find it here, good discipline, stability. Again, military terms. And really referring to a solid rank of soldiers drawn for the battle. And we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And they were soldiers of Jesus Christ. We got to stand firm and stand stable in the Lord. And that's the only place we can find that stability is in Him. He's the rock. He's the rock that doesn't roll. Hallelujah. And so we sing rock and roll to Him, don't we? But He's the rock that doesn't roll. And we stand firm and solid on Him. I had a vision years ago. I went to a retreat up at Arrowhead Springs with another church. And in fact, the church was about ready to fire me. So the Lord felt I probably need extra boost because I wanted to keep teaching the Word, and they didn't want me to keep teaching the Word. And so they fired me, and that's how this church got started. Anyway, that's a long story. But I was at this retreat, and I went out to pray because I was booked to teach. And the Lord had me stand on a rock. And He started to minister to me that there were tumbleweeds and things around me that were going to give me trouble real quick. And of course, that's what happened after that retreat. And I laid in my office and curled up in a little ball crying my eyes out when they fired me. But then I was going to go back to auto parts, and a few in the congregation called me on the phone and said, we don't want to stay in a church that's not going to lift up the Word of God. Would you be our pastor? And that's how Calvary Chapel Anaheim got started all those years ago, 1978, November 3rd, 1978. But anyway, so the Lord was giving me a vision to encourage me through these times. And I was standing on this rock in the middle of this field, and there were weeds and tumbleweeds all around. It had been a real hot summer, and so it just around the rock. And He said, Mark, right now you're surrounded by people that don't like you, and they're going to be after you because of Me and My Word, and they're like tumbleweeds in your life. But I've stood you on the rock, and that rock is Christ. And to just stand and let My energy and My power and My beauty just sustain you through this time, it's going to be tough. And then He showed me the hills far away. And on the hills far away was you. Great big strong healthy trees thriving because of the ministry of the Word. And they showed me that there would be another church. And here I am looking out on you today, and that's what I was seeing in the Spirit. But oh, the importance of being on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Actually that military order that we see here of just being with Him, strong in Him. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we go with the might of God and the strength of the Lord, believing Him and waiting for what He unfolds before us by the power of His Spirit. Amen? That's what we do. Now let's read verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. You've received Him. You're saved. You're going to heaven. When the Lord comes, you have an entry into heaven by His grace and His mercy because you've received Him as Savior. And now here's the exhortation. So walk ye in Him. Walk ye in Him. You're saved, you're a believer, but we need to walk in the Lord. Now, we as the Christian community, we talk to one another in these terms all the time. How's your walk, bro? How's your walk going with the Lord? And you want to hear somebody's testimony of what's going on in their life with the Lord. What's God telling you? That's a good thing to say. How is your walk doing? I know you're a Christian. I know you're going to heaven, but how's your walk? And then when a person backslides, they'll say something, you know, I just walked away from the Lord. And then we have to go to Isaiah where it says, you know, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. As the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. And then somebody will show up at church and they'll say, Pastor, you know, I got away from the Lord, but now I'm walking with Him again. And these are all true sayings. These are things that happen to people all the time. because we are given the encouragement, the exhortation. As you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. What does that mean? I want to give you four examples today of what that means to walk in the Lord. From the next book, just turn a couple of pages over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, where this subject is enlarged upon in 1 Thessalonians. Now, chapter 4, verse 1 says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brothers, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more with walking in the Lord. Okay, you're saved, but let's walk with him. Let's talk with him. And so the exhortation. Now, right here in this section of Scripture, there are four things mentioned that will give us an example where the rubber meets the road, everyday living, of what it looks like to walk in the Lord. Number one, that's at the end of verse 3. It says that you should abstain from fornication. Abstain from fornication. This is a huge subject with the Lord. As you know, in the first church council in Acts 15, when they were refuting the idea that we had to keep the Jewish law plus receive Jesus in order to be saved, when they came to the four things that they were going to tell them that they needed to do as non-Jewish believers, is to abstain from fornication. And so here we have it again, walking as an example of walking in the Lord. Abstain from fornication. What is fornication? It's sex outside of marriage. Where the scripture says, you know, that God made them male and female. This is Jesus' teaching on marriage. Male and female. And what God has put together, that's what God puts together, a male and a female in marriage. Let no man put asunder. This marriage is of the Lord. And anything outside that is fornication. So the homosexual thing is fornication. Sex before marriage is fornication. Extramarital relationships is fornication. If you're saved, you oughtn't be about any of these things. You should be walking in the Lord, going after his ways. Abstain from fornication. I want to say this about that. If any of you here are living together, you need to get married. There's going to be this canopy over your relationship that will cause infighting and all kinds of miserable things until you get it right with the Lord. You got to get it right with the Lord. You got to start walking with the Lord. If you're living together, I will marry you free, and I will pay for your wedding license. I will do that. It's $67. I know exactly where you go to get it. You can get a confidential one. You don't even need anybody to come. You just show up with your license in my office, and I will marry you. And, you know, why not? I mean, if you're living together, why not get married, for goodness sakes? Well, sometimes it's one or the other just wants to keep an open door. You know, one foot in the relationship and the other foot ready to run. That's not good. Does that person really love you? They won't be committed to you? Got to look again on that side of it. But the thing is, abstain from fornication. How do you walk in the Lord? As you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in him. Abstain from fornication. So that's number one. Number two, let's go to verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Oh, this is so important, isn't it? Well, it's all important. This is how you walk in the Lord. You don't defraud. You don't do that. Now, the Muslims actually have a provision for lying in the Quran, that if it's really necessary, you can just lie up a storm. Look people right in the teeth and lie like a rag. And they do that. But this is not something that the Lord allows. And so we look at walking in the Lord as not defrauding his brother. Had a tire change. You know, I used to change tires about 20 years ago. But now I call the 3As. It's so much better to have the 3As come. Well, the guy that came in the truck, he told me, he says, you know what? I am really familiar with the area now. I've moved here from Idaho, but all the places around here that do work, they cheat you. He said, I've only found one that doesn't. And he told me the name of that, and that's where I go now with my car. And I actually had an experience. And just this last week, too, because Sherry and I drove by the place we used to go to that were cheating us, they wanted $1,200 for a certain job. And we went to Fitzgerald's, the guy that recommended Fitzgerald's, and they wanted $200 for the same thing. Amazing. But that place is now out of business. Drove by just this week, and I said, look at that. It's all empty, and they're gone. And you know, that's going to happen. That will happen. If you decide to defraud in your business, the Lord will catch up with you on that one. And all that we hope to do with that is going to fizzle. Christians always get caught. They really do. Always. And the thing is we want to walk with Him. And just be honest up front. Charge an honest price for an honest deal. Don't be telling people they need carburetors when you just can get some of that spray can stuff that I used to sell in the auto parts store and spray it on the carburetor and it's all better. You know what I'm saying? I'm just using one example. How do we walk in the Lord? Don't defraud your brother in any matter. Just really, really seek to do what Jesus would do. And you know, my friend in Fitzgerald's, his place is thriving all through the economic depravities and all the things, not depravities, well, maybe, of the economic crashes we've had and all. He's done great. But the other guy's out of business. So he just wasn't doing it right. Nope. And the Lord caught up with that. And so there it is. Let's walk without defrauding one another. Now, the next thing has to do with love. Verse 9 says, in the last four words of verse 9, it says to love one another. And Ephesians 5:2 makes it very clear. It says, walk in love. Walk in love. And then in verse 10 at the end, the last four words, increase more and more. That actually your love should be on the increase as you are walking in Him, communicating with Jesus. You're just very naturally going to have that love just ministering and flowing in your life, and your love will increase more and more for the body of Christ. It was a really neat experience last night, the Saturday night service. A couple came in for the first time and so forth, and we saw who they were and met them. And after the service, they told one of the ladies, and the lady shared with me later, she just said, you know, these folks just fell in love with our church, and they're going to come back regular because they've been to many churches and they weren't greeted at any church but ours. And it just, you know, a pastor gets blessed to hear a story like that, you know, that there's love going on here. And it just needs to increase and increase until the place where the love is breaking like waves through this place. And you know, I feel it already. I love being here. I see you guys as big trees instead of tumbleweeds. Hallelujah. It's nice to have some big trees around instead of tumbleweeds. And it's because of God's promise and beauty. I'm in love with this church. I'm in love with you. I tell Sherry that all the time. I love these people. And you just listed people off and the things that are going on and just the preciousness, the humility, and the beauty. Oh, I know that you guys are sinners. I know that. Because you know how I know that? Because I am too. But the thing in the greater, bigger picture of it, the story of it, is the love of Christ. And we're in this together. We're going to see it through. We're going to get raptured right through the skylight together. Wham, zam. And I'm closest, but that's okay. You know, you guys will go too, right? We're all going together. So there it is. Yes, more and more. Last thing, verse 12. Walk with the Lord. How do you walk with the Lord? That you might walk honestly towards them that are without. Yes. Not only being straight up, honest, and forthright with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but with the non-believers also. And Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2:12, that if you do that, if you live honestly before the non-believer, in the day of visitation, when God visits them to save them, they will glorify God on your behalf. Because they knew a Christian that was living honestly. I'm going to look you in the eye, and I'm going to be honest with you and keep forthright. So walking in the Lord, that you might walk honestly towards them that are without. that you may have lack of nothing. And so the promise of God. So there it is, walking in the Lord. As you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. Now, let's go back to Colossians, to just turn the page back, page or two back. And we want to go back to chapter 2. We've just done verse 6. And so now we see that it says in verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now beware, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy literally means the love of wisdom. The love of wisdom. And we saw what happened to Solomon, didn't we? When he got into loving wisdom instead of loving the Lord, having the Lord on the throne of his life instead of self and pleasure, then this is when the vain philosophies come in. And we want to be careful of these things. So through philosophy and vain deceit, and this clause, I think, is the most important key phrase of this whole verse, after the tradition of men. Man wants to make his own religion. Oh, yeah. I'm going to make a religion that feels good. Because, you know, this is condemnation that light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. They want to keep their evilness and be able to operate in their religion. So they make one up. But we have to be careful of that. To really skip over the traditions of men. Jesus told the Pharisees, you nullify the commandments of God through the traditions of men. As they wrote their Talmud and Mishnah and worked on these things rather more than concentrating on the Bible. What the Bible says. God has a plan. He has designed religion to be what religion should be. And people want to just change it so they can feel better. And make disciples for themselves. And go down Primrose Lane to you know where. And so that is the key thing. Men want to make other men like themselves. But Christians want to make men more like Jesus. Amen. Let's be like Jesus. Let's let Him work on us and daily conform us to the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For in Him are hid all the treasures and the wisdom of wisdom and knowledge. And so we walk in Him. We walk close to Him. We walk and talk with Him and be real rooted and grounded and built up in Him and being aware of philosophies and of vain deceit after the traditions of men and not after the Lord. Let's read the next verse. It says this, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is something that refutes what was a developed later from these false doctrines that were trying to be pushed in Colossae. Was kind of the precursor to Gnosticism. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge, and the folks were getting prideful of having knowledge above Scripture. I think sometimes the Pope kind of, you know, gets close to that, doesn't he? Or maybe he actually does that, you know, that they want to say the word of the Pope is greater than the revelation of Scripture. It's an oucher. It's not a good thing. Because we don't want to ever elevate man's wisdom, man's decisions above the Holy Scripture. God has said, I've honored my word above my name. That's what He said in the Word of God. So the thing is this. They would actually believe this Gnostic thought that all things material are evil and all things spiritual are good. So therefore our bodies are evil because they're material things, our bodies. And so it was really an excuse to do whatever you want. They're looking for an excuse to do whatever you want because, hey, I'm evil, I'm just going to do evil things, but later I'll be better when I'm spiritual. They even went as far to say that Jesus Christ was a spirit and He didn't leave footprints. Can you imagine how terrible that would be if we couldn't enjoy the Footprints poem? I mean, I ask you, when you're going along and you have troubles and you only see one set of footprints on the sand, and you go, the Lord left me alone because it's just my footprints. But the end of that, and that's so beautiful, it says, he said, when you were in trouble, I carried you. I love it. So if we're going with Gnosticism, forget that. If Jesus doesn't leave footprints. But my point is this. The Apostle Paul says to us, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was all man. And yes, he was a man. Real men love Jesus. Real men want to be like Jesus. Oh, yes. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so, therefore, we in our bodies, yes, we can be on a program to be made holy people. As God works with us and teaches us how to walk in him and to not just write it off. But there's a change going on. I want to be part of that change, and I never want to rip anybody off. And I want to learn how to love people more and more and more. Let that abound more and more in my life. I want to be more like Jesus. And that's a hope. And that's a quest. And that's what God is doing. And so in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is God that's come to see us. And he lived in a body. And he lived and he loved and he died and he rose bodily. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. So important, so good to have founded and grounded in each one of us. And then it says, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. He's the head of the angels. He's not like one of the angels. He's the head of the principalities and the powers. For some of them were into angel worship. And so this is a complete wonderful exhortation from the Apostle Paul to let you and I know that we are complete in him. I want to read to you a verse, Hebrews 7:25, that says this, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, or many translations have, completely, completely, who come to God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for us. For them and for us. Jesus is alive today in heaven praying for you. You remember what he said to Peter? Peter, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when your faith is restored, tell your brothers. Go minister to your brothers. And that's what God wants to do with you and I. The Lord Jesus is that close. And that much concern with us that he's praying for us. It's this whole thing that he does. He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. And just take care of things. I remember that testimony that Chuck used to share that is so good. He said he was going onto a freeway on an on-ramp one time. And he's always very cautious in lane changing. You know how you change one lane, then you change the other, and you look in your blind spot, the whole deal. But for some reason, he put the pedal to the metal and zipped over to the last lane. Right from the on-ramp. And he's thinking to himself, what got into me? And just at that time, two guys drag raced about 100 miles an hour straight up that same on-ramp. And if he'd been changing lanes slowly, he would have been hit by these two guys. And he just went, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That was intervention by a holy God, who absolutely is connected with you in all of your life and all of your activities, watching over you, praying for you, that you would be delivered, that you would be able to walk safely and wonderfully, that you will not die until it's time for you to go. I love that idea. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So I am complete in him. You are complete in him. Whatever you need for salvation, whatever you need for sanctification, whatever you need for glorification, it's all in him. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. As we're looking to him, being conformed to his image and blessed by him. I want to end with this. I'm a hopeless romantic. I love chick flicks. I feel bad about that sometimes. I do. I'm a man, you know. Oh, I can talk deeply if I really try. Oh, anyway. So, but I've always loved chick flicks. Sherry and I have a lot of chick flicks. And we do have some that have been edited because some of them have good stories, but there's bad things in there. And we always get rid of those things. I like to encourage you to do the same. My wife actually drew bikinis on different girls in the TV guide so that the boys and I would not be violated. Isn't that neat? We'd see these little pen bikinis. She would get the pen out and draw bikinis on if a girl is scantily clad or whatever, you know. And that's what she did for us as the boys were growing up. And I hope I'm better now. But the thing is this. What am I trying to say? There's this one movie that we watched and really loved. At the end of the movie, the star of the thing says to the wife, you know, "You complete me. You." That's right. But you have to watch it edited. You do, yeah. "You complete me. You complete me." And you know, I was thinking about that. And I said, that is true about Sherry for me. She does. She completes me. You all know that. You know that about us. She completes me. And I tell her that. But this is what's so precious. And I've always done this. I've always related with what God has created marriage as a picture of His love for the church. And we're going to be getting into the Song of Solomon after Ecclesiastes, which displays the beautiful love of Christ for the church. But look at this. You are complete. You are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. And we can actually say to the Lord, "You complete me." And believe that. Receive that. And allow yourself to be just loved by God. It's a wonderful place to be. Amen. He completes you. Let's pray together and take communion to remember Him and what He did for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, God, for Your love and Your grace. And Lord, we just pray, Lord Jesus, that You would do a complete work in us as You have just let us know in Your Word that You complete us. Yes, You do. We don't need to add anything to that. And Lord, teach us how to walk in You. Lord, that we, through so much love and blessing from You and Your throne room, would just overflow into walking with You. The outward beauty of all the wonderful things that You would have for us to do and be about, and the things You'd have us skip over because of love for You. Jesus, we love You because You first loved us. And Lord, we thank You that You took time to come here on this pathetic planet with all the wickedness that goes on to live and die here for us, that You bodily made Your appearance, that in You is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thank You, Father. Thank You for doing this. Lord, bless us now as we take communion. Help us to bless You, Lord, and to leave here to walk very close to You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This time we're going to take communion. So the way we take communion here is that we'll pass out the communion and everybody hold it, keep it until we take it together. So let's pray now for the bread. Father, we thank You for this bread, Lord. We thank You that it represents Your body, which was broken for us. And Lord, we pray, Lord, as we take the communion, that it would just make us sense and feel closer to You. Lord, thank You, Father, for the reality of You being God. And the reason that You start a communion was to help us to remember that. to take that in, to know that in you is the fullness and the completeness. Thank you, Father, for that reality. So bless the bread now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so very much, Lord. In the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." So we remember him and we take the bread in Jesus' name.
Jesus, for coming down on this earth and dying for our sins, Lord, and shedding your blood. Lord, we ask you to help us to remember this, Lord, as we're taking communion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. To take the cup, and we know that this is the cup of blessing. This is the cup that represents the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us on the cross that actually continues to bless our road of completeness. And so we take the cup in faith in Jesus' name. Brother, there you go. There you go. Praise God. If you would like prayer for anything today, the prayer room's open. We do have Bibles if you need one. And so may the Lord bless you and continue to just lead you. If you need a place to have lunch today, stay with us. We're going to have lunch here in about a half hour with Pastor George. So may the Lord bless you and continue to lead you and just encourage you in your walk with him more and more. And the love just breaking like waves in your heart more and more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.